This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. This is the fifth lesson in our 10-week series titled The Believer's Fellowship with God. Today we'll examine the content of our fellowship with God. Study notes for this lesson may be downloaded from the website at drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org. And now with today's lesson, here is Dr. Matthews.
In our lesson this evening, I want to talk about the content of our fellowship with God and what this means. In the book of the Revelation in chapter 3, we have a very important verse that describes the theme of our lesson. The book of the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. We have been working on a number of very important topics that relate to this subject of what it means to walk in fellowship with God. We reminded ourselves that we have been created in the image and likeness of God to fellowship with Him, that in the crucifixion and the resurrection, the ascension, and how the Holy Spirit was sent by the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost, a provision has been made for us so that we can have this type of fellowship. This was all applied to us in our salvation experience. And as we have discussed last time, in our sanctification, He is developing that kind of a relationship in your life and mine. Now this evening, I want to talk to you about a very important theme in the Bible that's related to this subject, and that is what the life of fellowship ought to mean, not what it does mean in your life and mine, but what it should mean day by day. Notice here in the book of the Revelation in chapter 3 and in the 20th verse, the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or any person hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Sometimes we forget the significance of this verse, the honor, the privilege that belongs to those of us who, by God's grace, have heard his voice, and we've opened the door, and we have the honor of responding to this invitation and learning what it means to fellowship with the Lord Jesus, where in this passage he's using the Jewish symbolism of eating with a person. We, I'm sure, cannot overlook, if we're living in fellowship with God, we cannot overlook this privilege and honor that's been given to us. Fellowship with God, just as it is in fellowship with one another, is something we have to nurture, have to work on, plan for, develop. I find in my life, if I don't do that, there is a weakening of my fellowship with God. I start to notice it in my attitude. I notice it in my prayer life. Frankly, I'm not embarrassed to say that this is something that I have to constantly consider. I have to work on my attitude about this. I have to take time to fellowship with God. I have to think about Him, think about singing to Him, talking to Him, not only formally on my knees a couple, three times during the day, but at other times of relating different aspects of my life to Him, thinking about His greatness, His work, His attributes, His purpose, His decrees, His promises, the commandments, the authority of His Word, the Great Commission. Now I find if I program my life, if I put in these different elements into my life, then I open the door in my life for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me. The result of it is that I find a deepening of my fellowship with the true and the living God. Well, I'm on page 22 of our material. We're halfway through now our series on fellowship with God this evening, lesson number 5. In the introduction, I state here that our fellowship with God is not something that we've earned by our good works. The relationship is a result of His mercy and His grace. Now, I might put here the diagram on the board that we've seen quite often. We're reminding ourselves that our fellowship with God grows out of a relationship, and that God has spoken to us. And so here we are to make it personal now. We have seen so many, many times in the years that we've had the Thursday night Bible class that the basic relationship between God and the believer is one of truth, and then the other side of the coin, of course, is the grace of God. Now, the result of it, when we talk about how we live our daily life, is the matter of a very intimate, and I want to show tonight, personal fellowship with God. So here we are, walking with Him in fellowship. Well, take a look in capital B. We have considered the truths that God created us to have fellowship with Himself, and that He's made every provision for its development in our daily life. So it's not something now that we have to ask Him to do. What we need to work on is to learn how to live in harmony with the provision that He's already made. It's all there. It all revolves around Himself. He states if we open the door, He will come in. We don't have to go somewhere. He'll come into our life. And we can sit down and fellowship with Him. The third point, when I refer to the content of our fellowship with God, I'm thinking of what that fellowship ought to mean in your life and mine. Now here I want to stop for a moment, and we just need to remind ourselves that the way we're living may not be up to the standard of the Bible. All of us suffer on the principle of having a very low level of expectation of what God wants to do for us. Many times as I listen to a person talk to me about their Christian life, I realize I'm looking at a person who does not know the normal Christian life. They're living a subnormal Christian life. They're beset by a lot of problems because perhaps they have never been taught what the normal Christian life is all about. They've never had the necessary ingredients of love and of compassion and of instruction and of discipleship. They have never taken a hold of and taken charge of their own life so that they have the grace of God to live on the level that God wants every believer to understand and know and practice. I'm afraid that's true for many of us. And this matter of fellowship with God is a very, very wonderful and a very intimate and personal thing. It's a very emotional relationship with God. It's not based on emotions, but emotions, defined in the Bible, is a very glorious result. We are supposed to enjoy our fellowship with Him. So this evening, think about what you ought to be experiencing and know, and the fruitfulness and the joy and the comfort and the assurance and certainty that He wants in your life. Notice the theme in the Scripture in 1 John 1, verse 3 and 5. I've written it out here on the sheet. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Now I want to take that theme of the message of God revealing Himself and being characterized by light. And when we know that, then we can enter into a personal fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and that'll be the content of our message this evening. Well, notice number one. Fellowship with God is a personal relationship. I have the statement here, the relationship explained. It's imperative that we keep in mind that our fellowship with God goes beyond moral standards. So it's not enough for us just to have the right convictions about what should be done and what ought not to be done. Sometimes the older we get, the more sort of petrified we get into our own standards, and we try to impress these standards on other people. Now the Bible has some very, very clear standards, but fellowship with God goes beyond just having a lot of spiritual discernment about certain moral standards. That's not what Christianity is all about. You can be very ethical, you can be very conscious of right and wrong, and still go to hell. The second one, it goes beyond church attendance. A lot of people think that's all there is to it, just going to church. Now, going to church is a fine thing. It gives us an opportunity for a nap a couple times during the day. We meet our friends. We catch up on the gossip. Now, that's not what it's all about, but that's about all it means for some people. It's just a social exercise in the end of the week. Now, fellowship with God goes beyond church attendance. It goes beyond Christian service. A lot of people think that's all it means, and that isn't what it means. It's more than sacrificing and being interested in missionary work. The above verses remind us that it is fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. By use of the word personal, I'm indicating that our walk with God should have many of the characteristics that attend our relationship with those that are close to us, like love, trust, devotion, sacrifice, enjoyment, and, of course, friendship. Now, every one of us here in the auditorium, we have people that are close to us, and our life wouldn't be very much if we didn't have these loved ones and close friends. But our relationship with these people is characterized by fellowship, and that fellowship has to do with love. We share a loving relationship. It has to do with trust. We don't have to work that up in our relationship. It's just there. We don't have trouble with trying to get devotion going between us. We don't have any trouble sacrificing for one another or enjoying one another or friendship. We don't work out all kinds of little affirmations. Now I'm going to have friendship with this. It's just automatic in the relationship. And so it ought to be with the true and the living God. When we understand the various parts of what it means to walk with God, then our fellowship with Him is to be a very personal fellowship. Now let me change the order a little bit and write one part of this diagram a little larger. Now you understand the diagram that I've just shown you. Now let me put down here on the acetate the word personal fellowship. I want to emphasize this evening, as I mentioned, the meaning of personal, that there's something to be very, very intimate in this. Let me illustrate it here. Under capital B, the relationship illustrated, number one, fellowship as bridegroom and bride, Isaiah 62:5. Notice the verse, a very unusual verse. As a young man will marry a virgin, so he's given now an illustration. So shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. So here we have an analogy. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over us. My comment. In this passage, the example of the enjoyable relationship of bridegroom and bride is utilized to teach us one facet of what it means to walk with God. It's hard to believe, but here we're shown that the Lord God enjoys us, and we can learn to have His joy in our lives. Now, for those of us in the auditorium that have genuinely fallen in love, and we fall in love with a person who returns that love, that relationship becomes a very enjoyable period of life. That's supposed to stretch out, if we marry that person, all the rest of our life. So now, our personal fellowship with God is to have a very important characteristic. And that characteristic, as you know, is one of joy. Now, here in our school system, we see that every year. It's kind of interesting where we see a young fellow and a young lady kind of warm up to one another. They sit kind of close to one another in chapel or in class. We notice they're talking to one another quite often. And then from then on, it's just all downhill. It's a very enjoyable, you just enjoy watching the relationship develop. I just can't tell you of the number of young fellows that have been able to graduate from our school because they married a smart girl. They learned that instead of hiring somebody to type their papers, there's a shortcut. They can marry the typist, you know. Well, it's kind of interesting as we see it here in school. And so the analogy is used about our vertical relationship with God. Now, this reminds us that our fellowship with God is rooted and grounded in the crucifixion, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But our fellowship is a very personal matter. It's like opening the door to a friend, although that friend is Jesus Christ, and He comes into our life. And we learn to sit down with him and to eat and drink with him. We share our life. That's the meaning of the symbol there in Revelation 3:20. And as our fellowship one with another, where you genuinely love a person and that love is returned, where it's a relationship of joy, God wants us to learn how to enjoy him. Now, I hope you do. It's great now to enjoy morality. That has to do with the standards I'm talking about, and that's wonderful. It's great to be able to enjoy church and Christian service and all the rest of that. But how necessary it is. This is what it ought to mean in your life and mine, and that is enjoying God as a person. Now, this isn't something that just happens if we want it to happen. We have to work at it. We have to work on that a little bit. It's so much easier for us to learn how to fellowship with a person horizontally than it is to learn how to fellowship with God. But now, every relationship horizontally we have down here, the joy that we have in our communion and fellowship and friendship with one another is only a faint picture of what it means to be able to have the joy of fellowship with God. I'm sorry to say that many people profess to be Christians, but they don't have the foggiest notion of enjoying God as a person. And my words, I'm sure, sound very meaningless to some of you this evening. You ought not to be living the way you are. I'm not trying to chasten you or put you down. I'm just telling you, you're missing life itself. Joy. Well, turn the page over now, would you please? On page 23. Secondarily, there is fellowship as husband and wife. In Isaiah 54:5, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. My comment, as the husband will choose his wife in love and assume all responsibility for her, so the Lord God has done that for us. All that a husband could do for his wife, God wants to do that for us only in an infinite way. Now, what would you say would be the word I should put down here in relationship to husband and wife? Well, let me put down the word love. I think that would be, while it overlaps with the first one, that undoubtedly would be what the relationship is supposed to be. And happily, for many of us as believers, that's what it really is. There is a love relationship between husband and wife. Now, God says, I want to be like a husband to you. Now, some time ago, I used this illustration, but let me use it again here in the class this evening. You understand that somewhere in the world tonight, there's the best husband. You understand there has to be, because not all of us are alike. Somebody has to be better or best. You know, you remember, know how that goes? Okay. Say that you're married now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Say that as a wife, you're married to the best husband in all the world. Could you imagine how that would be? Think of the love, the enjoyment, the security, the planning, the great weekends of being a woman married to the best husband in all the world. And yet, even in a relationship like that, the husband would be very limited as to how he could help his wife simply because he's just finite. There would be areas where he still wouldn't understand her, areas where he still could not meet his need. But do you realize that for every one of us, God wants to be to every one of us like a husband? And yet he has no limitation. He knows all about our need. And he has all the resources in heaven to be able to come into our life and to minister to us. So we need to respond to the invitation as to what the fellowship ought to mean, to open the door, to learn how to fellowship with Jesus Christ, so that we will know his joy and that we'll know the meaning of love, not just love horizontal among us as loved ones and friends, but vertically, to know how to receive his love day by day in this relationship of fellowship and to love him the way he ought to be loved. Now, is this too much? Is this beyond us? Why, if that were true, these verses wouldn't be in the Bible. He's telling us what our life ought to be, what our fellowship ought to be. Well, the third point, middle of page 23, fellowship as father and child. And I will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. By comment, no matter what kind of a father we've had, all of us can understand this verse. God wants us to be and can be all God wants to be and can be all that a father could and should be to his child, only infinitely so. So what word now should I write in here when we think of not only the relationship of bridegroom and bride, that would be joy, the relationship of husband and wife, that would be love, maybe security. Maybe that would be the word. Now, all of these overlap, I understand that, but we need to write security here for the relationship of the of father and child. Again, on my illustration, somewhere in the world there has to be the best father. Think of being a part of that family. Now, God says that He will be to us as a father, and He has all of the infinite resources of heaven. He is always with us because He's omnipresent. He has all wisdom because He's omniscient. He has all power and ability because He is omnipotent. And He pledges to channel all of that understanding and wisdom and power into your life and mine to be to us in this relationship what we really need. That's what it ought to mean in your life and mine. Now, we have to grow in that. We have to understand what that means, learn how to work that out in our life. The next one, number four, fellowship as mother and child. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The comment here, we're reminded that God wants to be to us as a mother. Perhaps the mother you have never had. This involves, as the text states, comfort, discipline, loving care, teaching, and the best of all personal relationships. And God has infinite resources. Now, let me put another line here. What would I write in here to indicate how our mothers should be and could have been in your life and mine? Well, as I tried to figure this out, the best word that I could come up with would be a word that's not adequate, but the word devotion. Now, don't overlook the fact that these four all overlap. Joy, love, security, and devotion are only facets of one kind of a relationship. But what He wants to be in your life and mine is like He wants to initiate the relationship and sustain the relationship like that of bridegroom and bride, husband and wife, father, mother, and child. Now I need to stop and ask. And I know it's really embarrassing for me as well as it is for you. Why is it that our relationship is not like this? If this has been planned by God, if this is what Christianity is all about, and if we realize tonight it's not just to have clarity about these moral standards, it's not just enough to go to church and to sacrifice and to give and to serve and to live. There's something far more intimate and personal and enjoyable that God has planned for us, and that is a life of fellowship with Himself. Why is it not more like this? Do you think this is too high a standard? Not at all. Not at all. I think perhaps we are like the wife who has the best husband in the world, but she's a lazy wife. She's critical. She's unresponsive. She doesn't cooperate. Or we're like the child with the best mother and best father in all of the world, and yet here we are, we're a lazy child, and we won't be taught, we won't learn a thing, we won't assume responsibility, we refuse to be a mature person, we're self-centered, want to live on our own. I'm afraid too many times we're not as concerned about our fellowship with God and how great the privilege and honor really is as we are concerned about simply living our life and just day by day being taken up with the trivia of life. As I look at these verses, I'm sure that many of us are going to get down at the end of our life, and we're going to step through death, if He tarries, step through death into His presence, and look back and realize that we have pretty well missed it. And we have missed so much. We've given up so much for so little. For many of us, we have just been calloused about the things of God. We've justified ourselves about the fact that we haven't got involved into church and haven't learned. We haven't read the Bible. We have never exerted ourselves about being a spiritual person. And we find dozens of people to blame. When it comes right down to it, we're the one to be blamed. I don't want to have to meet you in heaven and for you to say, look, you had all of those hours on Thursday night. Why didn't you tell me? When I meet you in heaven, I want to be able to look you right in the eye. And if you've missed it, you're going to have to miss it, because even though I told you, I don't want you to miss it. And I frankly don't want to live next week the way I'm living this week. I want to know, I want to grow in fellowship. There isn't anything more important. It's more important than any facet of my life to be able to walk in fellowship with God and to have it in my life the way it ought to be. Not just the way I know it to be or the way I read it in books, but the way it really ought to be. Now, it takes more than just a desire. It takes more than sincerity. It takes more than just longing for it and praying about it and crying over it. It takes some consistent hard work, learning how to practice the truth and learning how to enter into the fellowship that God has for us. But it's a personal fellowship. It's not just knowing moral standards. It's not just going to church. It's not just giving your money to missions. It's not just sacrificing and being engaged in Christian service. There's an intimate, personal walk with God. Well, number two, the middle of page 23, fellowship with God is a personal relationship involving truth and love and holiness. Maybe I can just change the order here now again, if I might, for a moment. And when we are talking about this matter of what is so very important, personal fellowship with God, we understand that the foundation of this in your life and mine has to do with three very important foundation stones, and one has to do with truth, and the other has to do with the attribute of love, and one has to do, of course, with His attribute of holiness. So when we ask now about what should it mean in my life, then we have to understand that it is a personal relationship involving joy and love and security and devotion, but it's also rooted in the very person of God. That's why we're working out of 1 John chapter 1, where John said, "Now that which we have seen and heard," talking about his relationship with the Lord Jesus, "that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." And he says, this is the message that we give you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So the symbol of light is very important for our discussion here. Notice in the bottom of the page, I have the relationship stated. In the passage cited above, 1 John 1:5, we're reminded that God is light. This symbol is utilized to indicate the moral attributes of God as known through divine revelation. The emphasis in the chapter relates to the basis of fellowship, living in harmony with the character of God. It's also important to keep in mind that we've been created in the very image of God, and in our salvation, recreated according to that pattern. As a result, the believer will desire in his better moments to live in fellowship with God and according to the standards revealed in Scripture. These truths remind us that the will of God is not something out of harmony with our true self. It only appears that way occasionally. Now, the way that God made us in the Garden of Eden, He made us so that we would be in harmony with truth and love and holiness. That this, we were created into a life of fellowship back there in the Garden of Eden. And when we were born again, as we were reminded by Beth this evening, when we were born anew and made free to fellowship with God, our very recreation was so that our new nature, or this new life that came, was also characterized by truth, love, and holiness. Now, this is the very foundation of what it means to walk in fellowship with Him. Let me develop it a little bit. I'm on page 24, and I have here now the relationship explained. Number one, fellowship with God involves living according to truth. A couple, three statements here. The emphasis is on recognizing that there is truth. That is, there is a right and a wrong standard and content of authority. Now, how difficult it is for many, many people to give up the error that they are the final authority. That probably is one of the most serious problems that any of us here possess. To recognize that God is truth and that we are not the final authority. Now, all of us wrestle with that because we're sinners. To be a sinner means that I believe this is right and I'm going to do it. It's a way whereby we take a stand against God who says that He is the truth. Now, we are not the authority. No matter how logical it may look to us, if it's contrary to the Word of God and the truth of divine revelation used here in 1 John 1 under the symbol of light, then we'll have to realize that we're initiating something into our life that will rob us to some degree of our fellowship with God. I go on here, the emphasis is on honesty, responsibility, being teachable, seeking the truth, facing reality, the emphasis on faith, that there is an answer to our problems, the summary, to choose to live out of harmony with truth indicates a choice to live out of harmony with the Lord God. On that basis, fellowship is weakened, if not destroyed. Now, you know, the opposite of truth is error. Now, when a person will, by their ignorance, have error in their life, it limits fellowship. If a person chooses to live in some area of their life, to be a dishonest person, not to be teachable, to take a stand that's out of harmony with the Bible, that's a very weakening thing to our life of personal fellowship. Now, all of us have known a very lovely relationship that we have with an individual, and we walk in fellowship with them, and then something happens between us, and things are not the way that they have been in the past. We've all experienced that, and it's not a good experience to live through. Well, it even more clearly happens between us and the Lord God. When we deliberately choose to live outside of harmony with the truth that we know, now, I'm not saying this is easy, but the benefit is overwhelmingly great. I know we live in a very ungodly age. We're living with all kinds of worldly pleasure. We're pressed from inside and outside, and we have the enemy out there always working on us. But there are ways whereby we can go back and see whether we're living in harmony with the foundation, and that is that we've been given the book. We've been given the church with people in the church who have gifts to explain the book and to teach us. We have friends who can hold our hand and pray with us about this. Now, we need to be exercised about truth because of the benefit that will come into our life. Now, a person cannot be a liar and a cheat and a dishonest person living in error in some area of his life and then expect to be able to walk in fellowship with God. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about being perfect, but we have to be honest. Honest. Number two, fellowship with God involved living according to love. The emphasis here is on recognizing that there is love, that is, a right and a wrong way of relating to God and to people. The emphasis on honesty and responsibility, separating our emotions from our actions. And here's the definition of love, recognizing God or persons as a person, giving Him rightful place in our life and doing what's right by Him. Now, that's what love is all about. It's not, first of all, an emotion. It's, first of all, a decision to practice the truth that He is a person. I need to recognize that. I need to recognize who He is, give Him rightful place in my life, and then do what's right. That's what the practice of truth is all about. And when I apply it to motivation and affection, then it becomes my life of love. I know every one of us here in the auditorium, we want people to love us. We don't want them to patronize us. We don't want people to be sympathetic with us. We don't want them to do anything but love us. God made us in the Garden of Eden so that we cannot be normal people without genuine love, not only having people love us, but having us love them in return. And our greatest need is to know that God loves us and for us to learn how to love God. Now, when you're in fellowship with Him, this is one of the most joyful functions that we can get involved in every day, and that is expressing our love to God. I hope I hope that no one is here in this lovely auditorium and where this is a meaningless concept to you. What a beautiful thing it is to be able to quietly lift your heart to God and express your love, your appreciation, your thanksgiving, your affection, your devotion to Him, to be able to worship Him in the context of love. It's a very beautiful thing. And this is a part of the enjoyment of being a child of God. Now, sin has robbed us of all of this. Now, when we were saved, we were recreated, but now we've got to learn how to put this into practice. It's not an easy thing to learn. But the benefits are overwhelmingly great. There is nothing that can be a substitute for the biblical standard of fellowship with God. The third one, fellowship with God involves living according to holiness. The emphasis is on recognizing there is holiness. That is a right and a wrong way of living. The emphasis is on honesty and responsibility regarding the standard. The emphasis is on the necessity of moral choices that we all have. The emphasis is on faith, seeking help to know and practice the will of God and thereby become a holy person. Now, you remember what I said last week, and that is the very principle of Christianity, is that when we honestly bow before God and seek to do what's truth and what's right by faith, we become a different kind of a person. There is a continual transformation that comes into the life of the individual who walks in fellowship with God. And holiness is the result of that. Holiness is not something that I make myself into. Holiness is the product, the result, the end product of God working in me as I hunger for Him and as I make the right decisions and as I learn to walk in the light. That's why it says in 1 John, we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, the Greek is, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Now here's one of the byproducts of fellowship with God, that continual inner spiritual cleansing, and how desperately we need that every day. So here are three very important foundation stones. I have the summary under number three: to choose to live a sensual and or an unholy life will introduce a destructive weakness into our fellowship with God. We cannot succeed in the Christian life by an attitude or activity that's out of harmony with the very character of God and His revelation. Well, I'm concerned that you understand this and that you enter into it in your life. I have at the bottom of page 24 the relationship illustrated negatively, the statement from 2 Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. My comment, Paul's evaluation of the choice of Demas indicates his violation of truth. That is, he could have been like the Good Samaritan. You realize what he could have been to Paul? Here Paul was in prison. Now, when you were in a Roman prison, they didn't feed you. You had to be fed by somebody bringing food to you. They didn't have blankets for you. They didn't have clothing. If you were going to have a blanket, somebody from the outside had to provide it. You had to be cared for by your family or your friends. And here Demas, a Christian, from all that we understand here, was in Rome when Paul was in prison, and this man could have ministered to the Apostle Paul. How blind he really was. What an opportunity of life he missed. Now why? Because of the pressure, having loved this present evil world. So it was a violation of truth, a violation of love. He failed to care, a violation of holiness. He preferred the world to this spiritual exercise of taking care of the Apostle Paul. Well, I put that in there because, my Christian friend, I think it's easy for us to miss living according to truth and love and holiness. Well, I'm on number three, page 25. Fellowship with God is a personal relationship characterized by a biblical response. Now let me draw the diagram again, and perhaps we can just add another point or two. Here we have the true and the living God and His relationship to us, and this relationship now of truth in your life and mine as a saved person, where we're living now in personal fellowship with God. What this means has to do with certain characteristics or certain types of response. Now, we can think of this as how God has responded to us in truth, and now I have a response back to God. My fellowship with Him has various responses, so let's just name them off here as we go through here. And let me start with the first one. What does it say? Capital B, let me read the relationship stated, the scripture text stated in the introduction, the one about light, reminds us that God has revealed Himself. That's the message. He indicates the character of His person and revelation by use of the word light. The believer may not think and live as though God may not think and live as though God does not exist or as though He has not revealed Himself. The biblical response is necessary that we may learn to live in fellowship with Him so that we know who He is. He's the God characterized by truth, love, and holiness, and He's made this revelation clear, and now it comes time in my life to respond to Him. And my response, therefore, is on the basis of these three foundation stones that we have mentioned a moment ago. Now, how is that explained in the Bible? Let me show you a verse or two and work it out here. Under capital B, number one, fellowship is based on the response of faith. Notice here from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, talking about the Lord Jesus, and the Word was with God, that is, in fellowship with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That's the key word there, might believe. Now, my response then to God on the basis of who He is and His revelation of light is that I learn what belief really means. Notice my comment on this. Faith or a decision to believe is essentially the acceptance of a relationship with a person or of a body of truth. In our salvation, we responded to the plan of salvation by faith and in believing the gospel message, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As we learn to live in fellowship with God, we more and more understand that it's a life of faith. Essentially, it's a response of trust, the acceptance of truth, and choices to depend upon God through His promise. So where do we begin now? We begin with a response. My response to God is characterized then by faith. He has revealed Himself to me in truth. That has initiated a personal fellowship with God. And now if I'm going to learn how to fellowship with Him, I need to trust Him. I need to get into His Word. I need to find out what the truth is all about. I need to change my life as an expression of faith. Find ways that I can trust Him in my daily experience. Now, I've prayed now a great deal for you in this class this evening, and I'm just trusting God that as I have to hurry with some of this material that's terribly important, that He'll point out something in your life, that He'll help you to see an area of your life where you need to express faith. Here's an important characteristic that we must have in our life. Number two, fellowship is based on the response of following. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My comment, the word follow in this text implies teachableness, commitment to the same goal, trust. Again, the context has to do with light. The Lord Jesus has led the way in His earthly life, and He expects us to follow His example. One of the most amazing truths of Christianity is that the believer has been given a divine revelation in the Holy Scripture. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus means to live according to His Word because of our devotion to and trust in Himself. Most of us need to work on this relationship every day. To follow the Lord Jesus is what it really means to be a believer, to be a Christian. Now, there are a lot of people who have never entered into this. They don't have the foggiest notion of what it means to follow the person of the Lord Jesus, to be His disciple. So if we are going to characterize our response to God, it means that day by day we must learn to follow him, not just to obey the word, but to follow him in a very personal relationship, to be teachable, to be open, to be willing for God to change some things in my life. Some years ago, there was a pastor in our area that had dropped out of seminary years before, and some of us were kind of glad and relieved when he did, because he wasn't very teachable. There's more argumentation in class than recitation. And he seemed to know so much more than the rest of us. It never became obvious to him, but that's the way it was, at least in his own mind. And so when we learned that he was going to come back and finish seminary, some of us, you know, sighed a little bit. But it was very different when he started in that semester, very different. He was quiet. He was very teachable. And one day in chapel, he gave the reason why. He said, I've learned that I didn't know it all. He'd gone through some hard situations in the pastorate. He said, You know what I do? He said, when I come into the school in the morning, I find an empty room. And I get down on my knees and I say, now, Lord, I have these two or three classes in this day, and I pray that you would help me to be teachable. And you know, the Lord was breaking into that hard head and teaching that fellow. Now, he's not the only one with a hard head. We're all in the same boat. We're also taken up with following ourselves. Have you ever tried doing that? That's kind of a hard thing to do. But we're all taken up with just doing our own thing, following our own way of life. I'm afraid that when we get to heaven, the Lord Jesus is going to say to a lot of us, I gave you the Bible and you just didn't do a thing with it. And I gave you the church, and when you went, you slept. And I gave you pastors and you avoided them. And I gave you life and you missed it. You really missed the meaning of life itself. And we'll look back on our life and it was simply filled with having our own way. Just thinking of ourselves. Not having the foggiest notion of the joy of personal fellowship with God. We have just been taken up with the trivia of our life. Well, we need to be a follower. Let me ask you to turn to page 26. Fellowship is based on the responsible obedience. The Lord Jesus said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Same thought again. One of the main characteristics of light, used here as a symbol of divine revelation, is that it dispels darkness. The two are incompatible. Light and darkness. You cannot have light existing where there is darkness. The Christian is reminded of the importance of living in harmony with the light, the Word of God, if he is to walk in fellowship with God. Occasionally, this takes some prayer, careful consideration, the searching of the Scripture to make sure that we understand what may be a source of darkness in our life. Well, here's a third response, and that is, these overlap a good deal, as you see. It's the response of being an obedient person. I've often wondered in the minds of people as they sit there and I'm their visiting pastor in church and I get up and preach the sermon, I often wonder what's going on in the minds of people. What goes on in your mind when you sit here in the class? Are you making decisions to change your life so that you can implement this? I certainly hope so. Are you wanting to be a follower? Do you want to obey? Is the Lord putting his finger upon some area of your life where you say to yourself in the presence of God, I'm going to have to change that, I know, and I want your help. Does your heart beat faster in the anticipation of having a deeper walk of fellowship with him by being characterized by this, as I have here on the overhead projector? Well, that's my trust and my prayer for you. Number four, fellowship is based on the response of thanksgiving. Let me just read the text here. Our time is getting away from us. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So people who understand the revelation of God, the term and symbol light again, characterized by thanksgiving. Now, how important it is that we be characterized by thanksgiving for the most important things of life, not just for health, not just for the beautiful weather like we've had today, not just for enjoyable friendship one with another, but to be able to be thankful to God for Himself, for salvation, to be able to worship God with the praise and sacrifice of thanksgiving. Number five, fellowship is based on the response of purpose. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the last one I have here, although there are others in the Bible, is the fact that we have a purpose in our life, and that is that we want to draw attention to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the attempt to make this practical, I have on the last page, page 27, the little diagram. My response of faith for today is, and I go down through following, obedience, thanksgiving, and purpose. Experiment a little with that tomorrow and the next day. When you get up in the morning and you're going to have a moment or two to read the Bible in prayer, get out the 27th page and take a look at it and try to fill in a couple of these. Maybe there will be a verse that will fit in number one. My response of faith today is, and then name the promise. And for number two, my response of following for today is some area where you're willing to change. Number three, my response of obedience for today is a decision in some area of life where you want to live a little different. My response of thanksgiving for today is, well, for some blessing in your life. And then for purpose is that you might choose to speak to somebody in the day that you know you're going to have contact with and say some encouraging word, or if it's a non-Christian, to pray that you might be able to say something concerning salvation. Well, we enjoy a lesson like this, but we got to do more than that. We're going to have to learn how to put that into practice so in our daily life we can have the kind of fellowship that God wants us to have. Now, don't draw the conclusion this evening that you know what this is all about. Now, God wants to do more in your life and mine than we could ever realize. And we need now to be open for God to work with us and to lead us into this kind of an intimate fellowship with Himself. Well, I trust that will increasingly become true in your life and mine. Shall we bow together now to pray? Loving Father, take these verses that we have read and these illustrations and work them into our daily life. We hunger for You. We want to know You. We want to honor You day by day, and we want to be like You. We pray for the comfort and the love, the conviction, the humbling, the encouragement we need in order to walk in fellowship with You. We trust You for this, Father, and we thank You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this lesson in our series, The Believer's Fellowship with God, with our teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. We'd encourage you to listen to each of the lessons in this series and check out series on other topics that are also available on the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.